Thank you for joining us today for a message from the Word of God. What follows is a recording from one of our live services at Gooch Lane Church of Christ in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're ever in the area, we'd love to have you join us in person. And if you like what you hear today, you can visit us online at teachingtruth.org, where we have videos, weekly articles on biblical topics, information about our services, and more.
If you'd like, you can go ahead and open to Colossians chapter 1. We'll be spending the majority of our time here this morning, Colossians chapter 1. Let me just briefly remind us of what we've been discussing really this month, past 3 weeks or so. We've been talking about foundational decisions. Decisions that whichever choice we make are going to influence our lives. And so we started out with the most impactful of all, and that's the decision of whether or not we believe in God. Whichever choice I make to believe that there is or is not a God, that's going to influence the trajectory of my life, the decisions I make, how I conduct myself. We then talked about that if we make the choice to believe in God, that it's certainly logical that God would want to communicate with us, tell us why He created us, what purpose He hopes to serve through us. And so we talked about the impactful decision of choosing the Bible as being the inspired Word of God, and how that in turn is going to influence how we think about God, how we think about ourselves, how we think about others. And then last week we talked about looking at the Bible, understanding that it's giving us the way of salvation, and that if we are of the belief that we go back to the Bible, that primitivist idea, that it's within the Word of God that we find the pattern to follow, then we're going to become Christians like they did way back when in the first century, just as the apostles taught under the directive of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to keep the same idea flowing, but change gears just a bit, because everything we've been looking at thus far is a very individualized decision. My choice to believe in God, my choice to believe the Bible, my choice to become a Christian. But in looking at the Bible, we understand that a significant part of our service to God is our interaction with other members of the family. And as we look at that Bible pattern, we see that there were groups of Christians who gathered together in an organized manner to worship and work in the service of God together. And that God has given very clear indications of how that is to go. And so this morning, I want us to talk about what a healthy church looks like. Now, if we think about the parameters of that, they're massive, and it would be hard maybe to find one specific idea to dwell on were it not for the fact that the Apostle Paul, in a very confined spot, has identified what a healthy church looks like. And that's in his introduction to the letter to the Colossians. And so what I'd like for us to do this morning is two purposes. One is to look at the foundations of what a healthy church are built on, and then look at how you decide whether your church is healthy or not. So as we begin that, let's think about these foundational things. Beginning in verse 3, I want us to note together what the apostle says in Colossians 1. He says, "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you." Now let's note what he says in verse 4. "Since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven, of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel." Three things we find that are foundational to a healthy church. One of those is faith in Jesus Christ. So as we consider that particular foundation stone, what that's saying is that for all of us who are a part of a church, collectively, we are saying that we believe He is the Messiah and that He can be trusted. That's what it means to have this faith in Jesus Christ. We've looked several times in this study at the words of Peter on the day of Pentecost. We turn there once again this morning. where we look in verse 36 of Acts chapter 2, and he's convicting the crowds, and he says, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him," talking about Jesus, "both Lord and Christ, both Master and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." So when we come together as a church, what we are all saying is that we have weighed the evidence. We've looked at what the Scripture says. We've looked at Jesus and His words. And we have concluded that He is our salvation. And so then, the way that we identify ourselves indicates that. When we say that we are part of a church of Christ, that is certainly no title, or at least it better not be. It better not be something that we're trying to use to tie us to all of these other groups. Not at all. What we're doing is we are proclaiming that we believe Jesus is the Christ and that we belong to Him. But it also serves another good purpose. It's also a reminder to us that it's in Jesus Christ that we find our salvation, not through a church. There is no man and no group of people who could ever offer us the salvation of Jesus Christ. We don't find our way to Jesus through a church, no. We come to Jesus based on Him as the Messiah, and in turn then, after we accept the invitation that He offers to us, we join ourselves with others. So we are a group proclaiming that we belong to Jesus. Foundation stone number one, according to Paul. Now he continues then, and he says, "You also have love for all of the saints." What an interesting expression. You have love for all the holy ones, all of those set apart in the service of God. And what we know is that that certainly applies with a defined church like this. What the Apostle Paul is telling us is that if you are a healthy church, if you are a church that belongs to Jesus Christ, then you love the other members of His body. And so, that's going to include the care that we show for each other, the concern that we have both for physical needs, but also for the spiritual needs that we have for each other, that we are going to extend that help because of a common bond. And we could keep going with that. We could say it's certainly going to mean patience with each other. That when you have all of these personalities, all of these different ranges coming together, that you're working in patience with each other, never looking to be angry or upset or to diminish or neglect anybody within this body. That's what that love of a faithful church is built on. But it doesn't stop there. No, we look at this term and it applies to a defined church, but it certainly applies to the entire family of God. That when there are those that are outside of our immediate fellowship, we understand that if they are in the body of Christ, we are also in fellowship with them. Whether it be somebody next door, whether it be somebody on the other side of the world, that where we can help, we do. And we see that by sending people to preach the gospel. We're using our collective funds to spread the gospel throughout the world. We do that when we care for the needs of saints, when they're struck with natural disaster or something of that nature, and maybe need food or need their homes rebuilt. We take care of them. That's what the apostle is saying. He's saying that if you are a healthy church, one of the foundation stones upon which you're built is love for each other. Now, that shouldn't be surprising, right? That we're starting out in a whole lot of the way as Jesus identified the two great commandments. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. The apostle starts out, you've got faith in Jesus because of your love for Him, and you love each other. And then we consider the third of those foundation stones, and maybe this is one that normally we don't include in our list as we're thinking about a healthy church. But the apostle says one of the things that he appreciates about the people in Colossae is that their hope is laid up in heaven. Now, just exactly what does that mean? Well, what that means is that we trust that everything our Lord is telling us to do is working toward a purpose. That these commands of God, whether it be individual or collective, are not just these random assortment of things to see if God's going to make us do them or not. No, they're working together, and the apostle says they're working together because you're looking for something. You're looking to return to that Eden ideal of union with God. And here within a defined church, that should give you at least a taste of that. Where you're meeting together, you're working together to please the Lord and also to help one another. So then, that trust is showing us that we hope in that purpose. And the way we find out about that is, as we discussed a couple of weeks ago, through the message of the gospel. That when Jesus says, this is the means of salvation, this is what God wants to do for you, this is where God wants you to be eternally, we believe that idea. And we trust in Him. And I would say, it's also the basis for the bearing of fruit. That when we work together for an intended purpose, for a common cause, that we are praying and we are hopeful. That the work that we do is going to supply to the kingdom good things. We'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But that hope is for the fruit that's going to be born. And the apostle is telling us here, all of this is predicated on the grace that God has extended to each one of us. That each of these things is originating from a God who owes us nothing, but yet has done everything for our salvation, and that's impacting how we treat one another. So you take these three together, and these foundation stones must be the basic considerations for evaluating a healthy church. Why is that? It's because if you don't have these things, you're not going to build what God intends for you to build. It'd be kind of like starting out to build a house and you say, I'm not going to bother with the foundation. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to build the first floor. Well, that house might stand for a while, but the first big wind that comes, the first storm that blows through, the first earthquake that hits, it's going to be gone. Because a house with no foundation does not stand. And if we try to build without these three foundation stones of faith and love and hope, we may build something. It may be a club. It may be an organization. It may be an institution. But the one thing it's not going to be is a church that belongs to Jesus Christ. What we've also got to remember is that we don't neglect that foundation. Because if we neglect that foundation, that's going to threaten the very existence of a church. How do we know that? We need only ask three churches to whom Jesus spoke in very direct terms. When He said to the church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. When He says to the church at Sardis, you have a name that you're alive, but I know you're dead. When He says to the church at Laodicea, I'm on the outside. I'm standing and I'm knocking at the door asking to let you, for you to let me come in to my church. So we understand that this is so important that we build on the right foundation, the faith, the love for one another, the hope of things to come. But here's what we've also got to understand. That when we talk about a church's foundation, that is a collective of every member of that church. What makes a church build on the right foundation? It's the decisions of everybody within that church. And so if I'm of the opinion, I'm just going to kind of slack off, I'm going to be a member by association only, I'm not involved in anything, what I'm doing is I'm weakening the foundation of that church. Now that said, we all have our moments, don't we? Every one of us has our moment of strength, our moment of weakness, our moment of orneriness, our moment of love. That may all be in the same day for some of us, right? But we understand that our basis, our foundation, is in Jesus Christ. And when every member of a church is committed to that individually, every member is going to be committed to that collectively. So with that foundation built, the Apostle Paul continues on. And he said, now, here's how you know you're a healthy church. Here are the markers. These are going to come primarily from verse 10. Hey, so let's pick up in we're going to come back to verse 9 here in just a minute. Just go with me to verse 10. So he says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. The first thing he says, if you want to know, if you're giving your church a checkup to see if it's healthy, then make sure that you are walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. So what does that mean? Let's back up one verse to verse 9. The apostle says to them, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. And then note this expression. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he says, if you are going to be a healthy church, one thing you got to understand is that you've got to be a spiritual church, that you're exercising spiritual wisdom. And what that means is a knowledge of what he says, but also an understanding of how to apply it. So our question might be, how then do we become a spiritual people? Let's bounce outside of Colossians for just a minute. As we look in Galatians chapter 5, the high school class and I are studying our way through this. And in fact, this is the passage, by coincidence, we're going to be looking at this morning. Listen to what the apostle says. He says, but I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Skip down just a little bit. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And he goes through these works of the flesh to show what it's like to be outside of God. And then about halfway down, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no such law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Now, we oftentimes stop there, but let's go a little bit further. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, let's note his language here. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. How do we know if we're spiritual people? The apostle has just told us. He's just explained that to the Galatians and in turn explained it to us that if you are a spiritual people, it means that you have a relationship with God so that He is directing every step. You're making it your focus to listen to Him, to be led by His ways. And so if you do that, the apostle says, it's going to be clear because your life is going to demonstrate the work, or the fruit rather, of the Spirit. It means we get ourselves out of the way and we let God do His work. We are His willing partner in that. It's interesting that we often will think about this fruit of the Spirit in our lives as individuals, but do we think about it as a church? That if someone, our Lord, of course, would do this, who said, I'm going to look at the Gooch Lane Church. Is it permeated with love and joy and peace and all of these different fruit that's described here? Would he say, when I look at you, this is what I see this church growing? Well, he better. Because that's going to impact the health of this church. And just like the point we made earlier, that begins with each of us as individuals and then working collectively. Now what that also is going to mean is that it requires doctrinal purity. We may talk a little bit more about this next week, Lord willing, but let me say this morning that if I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, my utmost desire is to do what He wants me to do, and to do it in the way that He wants me to do it, because that's showing that I believe He's worthy. We know that, don't we? Somebody gives us the opportunity to explain something, give directions, and person says, well, that's very interesting, but I'm going to do it a different way. What that's showing is there's not much value for what we just said. And we can do that with God, can't we? We can say, well, we love You, we love Your ways, but we don't like what You're telling us to do or how to do it. We're going to do it our way. No, that's not how it works. The apostle says, if you love God, it means you trust Him. You know He's the eternal, the immortal God, your Creator. And you're going to follow Him just as closely as you possibly can. And so as we talk about, as we did last week, that primitivist mindset, what that's saying to us is that we are looking for the pattern within the Word. We're looking for what God has shown us as the example. And maybe we take that term primitivist and we contrast it to the other end of the spectrum, where we'd probably put the postmodernist. The postmodernist who says, I'm going to do it my way. You do it like you want, I'll do it like I want, we'll all be happy. We leave that aside because we do not walk in our own wisdom. We walk in the spiritual wisdom of God, is what the apostle is saying. And we look for that pattern that He's established. And when we do that, the apostle continues, and he says, you're going to be, just like he commanded Titus here, you're going to teach and you're going to do what accords with sound or healthy doctrine. That's what he desires for every one of us. Let's think about another marker that he gives here. He says, when you walk in that worthy manner, it means that you are going to do every good work. That term, good work, shows up somewhere around 20 times in the New Testament. There's a couple of those that are presented in a negative light, most of them extremely positive. And they fit around two categories. When we see that term good works, sometimes it's talking about the good works that God does for us. The things that He's done for humanity, the things that He does for His people. And the remainder of the time, it's talking about the good works that we do to honor Him. I think there's two passages that pretty much sum it up. One of those, the Lord Himself stated in His Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, He says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. And do what? And glorify your Father who is in heaven. Someone should never look at us and think, oh, what an amazing person. They should look at us and hopefully say, what an amazing God. The other of those is also one that I have just come more and more to appreciate. And that's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where we see two ideas here. It says, we are His workmanship. We're the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God says one of your purposes for existence is to do good works. That's true for us as individuals, and that is certainly true for a church. That as we think about our association together, one of the things we should all be so eager to do is to collectively do good in the parameters of what God has told us to do. That's going to include spreading the gospel. When we think about the contribution this morning, part of it's going to go to South Africa. Part of it's going to go to Malawi. Part of it's going to go to London. Part of it's going to go to Missouri. All these different places where what we're saying is we want to do good in bringing others into the body of Christ. We're going to see that when we care for each other, whether that be a physical need, helping someone who's suffering financially or maybe with sickness, but also caring for the saints, helping to build one another up. It's going to be seen in spreading light in a very dark world. So Paul says, if you're a healthy church, you walk in a worthy manner. He says, you bear fruit in every good work. And he also says, you're going to increase in the knowledge of God. Collectively, we're going to seek to better understand our Lord. As a group, iron sharpening iron, building up one another with a better knowledge of who God is. Let me go back to that point about our foundations. What that means for that to take place is that we must be a Bible-based church, not a socially based church. We can enjoy one another. We can like each other's company. We can get together, and we need to. But our foundation is always built not on what we're getting out of it, but what God is getting to be honored. And so if we are that church that is built on the foundation of God and His Word, we're going to do that very thing. And that's going to mean that a church needs good teachers. Those who are committing themselves, that they understand the Bible. It's not like going to school where you pull out the history book or the science book. It's just all of these details. There are lots of details we need to know, but it's a teacher who can interweave those to show the plan God has for us, to show who we need to become. That's the kind of teachers we need. Doesn't have to be someone eloquent. Doesn't have to be someone who can just fire off all these golden statements. It's someone who loves God and loves His Word and wants to help others to love that God and that Word. And it also means that we exchange those ideas with each other. The beginning of Revelation is so interesting in a lot of ways. But have you ever noticed what the apostle gives as an admonition? He says, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and keep what is written. You've got the idea there. You're reading the Word together. You're listening to what's being read. You're keeping these things. But it's the idea of in community. That your Bible study is not just some isolated thing that you do maybe at a certain point during the day. Your Bible study takes that knowledge and it's used to help others also. So we increase in that knowledge through both teaching and learning, that exchange. And then finally, the apostle says, it's in remembering where you find your strength. Let's actually back up to verse 11. He says, may you be strengthened with the power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I love that phrase, according to His glorious might. Ties us right back into faith in our Lord Jesus. Why? Because we trust Him. Because we understand He has the power to save. And when we believe that, and we are walking in a worthy manner, it means that the church is going to be in good standing with the Lord. Now, it may not look like that from the outside. Church may not look strong. But yet the Lord says, I know who belong to me. And all of this language from the Psalms just starts permeating our ideas. He's our rock. He's our shield. He's our refuge. He's our help in times of need. And when I can have that kind of trust, and when we can have that kind of trust, it means that we are going to not only have knowledge, but we're going to have wisdom to endure. Whatever comes along, good times, bad times, we endure. And we're patient. And we have joy with each other. So the Lord says, when you're evaluating the health of your church, look and see if you're walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. If you're bearing fruit in every good work. If you're increasing in the knowledge of God. If you're remembering where your strength is found. But let's add to that. In that evaluation, it's understanding that my health, spiritually, is going to impact the health of the church. Am I walking in a worthy manner? Am I bearing fruit in every good work? Am I increasing in knowledge? Am I remembering where my strength is found? And when every one of us can do that, we're going to be strong, we're going to be spiritually healthy, and in turn, the defined church of which we're a part of will be. So the question then is, how healthy am I? That's where it starts. Before I start evaluating the church, I got to look inside and I got to see, does this describe me? As I said earlier, we all have our moments of weakness. We all have our moments of strength. But when you take the whole picture, are we making that steady progress to be more like our Lord? And when every member of a church can say yes, then a church can say yes, we are healthy. And so I encourage each of us to think about that as we evaluate this impactful decision that we make, not only of our own health, but the impact that we have on the health of others and the health of a church. Thank you for your good attention this morning. So are you a Christian? Are you one who's building your foundation on faith in Jesus Christ? He's the Savior. He loves you. Are you building that foundation on the love for others? Are you building it on the hope that's laid up in heaven? Maybe you're ready to do that this morning. You've not done it in the past, but you're ready. I would encourage you, don't delay another minute. When we sing here in just a minute, you come forward. And you let that be known that you're ready to be baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ to be a part of His body. If you're not in good health, let's pray about it. A lot of people here who are willing to help. Everybody here willing to pray about it. And then let's turn our attention to helping one another. Because in doing that, we grow as well, don't we? Our Lord wants His kingdom full. And He wants you to be a part of it also. If you need to respond to His invitation, you can come as we sing together.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you have questions about anything you heard today or anything Bible-related, you can use the contact form on our website at teachingtruth.org to submit a question and someone will be in touch. There's also lots of other great Bible content on our site as well. The web address again is teachingtruth.org. Once again, thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in person soon.